でございます。ご愛知で。ジャイアンビシュパラバラマンサラブリバリガチャジャスオダルサルシシマールスタバンゲシュバティーテランデルサルパリタカマラシュウバリキジャイアンアナントトティバイスナブリミキジャイアンスタンタンダラチャジュウバリキジャイアンナムチャジュシュバリダーサーフキジャイアンペンジャガワシュクリスナチェイタナファブンチャンアンダシュアラギラシュバリゴーカプトリミキジャイアンシシラダハクリスナゴゴビナチャンプンダラザンデギゴハンキジャイアンシシュンダウンダンキジャイKrishna Pritham ki jai, Krishna Mayapuram ki jai, Krishna Pritham ki jai, Krishna Pritham ki jai, Krishna Ayodhidham ki jai, Krishna Devi ki jai, Krishna Devi ki jai, Dhanumai ki jai, Dhanumai ki jai, Gaur Premanand ki jai, Harinama Sankirtan ki jai, Krishna Vihatranga ki jai, Krishna Chandra Krishna ki jai, Krishna Donita ki jai, Krishna Ramakrishna Hanuman ki jai, Krishna Ramakrishna Mohan ki jai, Krishna Vihatranga Gurudam ki jai,Shama Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glorious to Samudra Bhakti. All glorious to Samudra Bhakti. All glorious to Samudra Bhakti. All glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Well, actually, the question was, no, I'm sorry, that wasn't the question. He was asked, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru? And Allen Ginsberg was a very famous and popular poet at the time, who Prabhupada had some association with. So he said, I'm nobody's guru. Well, first he said, are you Allen Ginsberg's guru? And Prabhupada said, I'm nobody's guru, I'm everybody's servant. And then he paused for a long while. And he said, actually, I'm not even a servant of God. A servant of God is not an ordinary thing. So in this case, Prabhupada was saying, of course he is a servant of God, but that he didn't even feel himself to be qualified up to that level to be a servant of God, because a servant of God would not be an ordinary person. It would be a very extraordinary person. So what to speak of being equal to God or being the same as God? Prabhupada decried this idea. And every time it came up within ISKCON, there were a few controversies. Prabhupada quelled them. And of course, this is a very common misconception that is going on today, that many so-called gurus and rishis and munis and babas and various spiritual quote-unquote leaders, they characterize themselves as being one with God. In other words, they're merged into existence with God, and they've lost their individuality. This is one of the reasons why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Prabhupada railed so continuously and so heavily, continually, against impersonalism, because it gives the spiritual leader the right to say, and everyone to say, that I am God. And as soon as someone says I am God, then they become equal to God in all respects, and their followers think that they have every kind of supernatural power imaginable, and that they control the universe, and that they can do anything. So this is one of the common misconceptions that goes on everywhere, that the spiritual master is equal to God in all respects. The real Vedic philosophy, Prabhupada continues, is a Chintya Veda Veda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda, Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha 2.13, has clearly defined that a pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva as one with the personality of Godhead exists in terms of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. Following the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur confirms that all the real revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead because he is a very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service, and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, and other unalloyed devotees, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So by their confidential association, by their intimate relationship, they are considered to be worthy of leading. As we were saying the other day, the leader is the perfect follower. So in this way there is a transparent conduit leading up to Krishna himself through the disciplic succession. Now I'll read one more verse. Siksha Guru Keta Jani Krishna Swarup Antaryami Bhakta Shvesta Eduvarup. One should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami states that the instructing spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within, he teaches as Paramatma, our constant companion. And from without, he teaches from Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. There are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service. And the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and the subjective waves of understanding. The acharya in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. When by learning from the self-realized spiritual master, one actually engages himself in the service of Lord Vishnu, functional devotional service begins. The procedures of this devotional service are known as abhideya, or action one is duty bound to perform. Our only shelter is the Supreme Lord, and one who teaches how to approach Krishna is the functioning form of the personality of Godhead. There is no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord and the initiating and instructing spiritual masters. If one foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. Srila Sanatana Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers, one, the shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan due to forgetfulness of his relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Govindaji acts like the Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master, by teaching Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us instruction and an opportunity to serve him. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Srila Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representation of Srila Govindadev Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped at Vrindavan. Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. So we'll stop there. For questions or comments? Oh, I wanted to say one thing before you do, and that's two things. As we're beginning to implement our plan towards doing some construction here, it becomes increasingly important that we on Sundays, especially on Sundays, finish up all of our activities, our work, our duties, our various obligations, so that we can all be here in the temple at 5 o'clock. So just keep that in mind. Today is Sunday and we have another 8 hours to complete all of our work, but especially we want the people who don't live in the temple to see that we are here in force. And right, Rajan? Rajan, we want that. Yeah. Rajnikant is saying that people come for the companionship of devotee. They come for the beautiful grounds, they come for the beautiful temple room, they come to see the beautiful deities, they come for the wonderful feast, they like to hear the talks, they like the kirtans, and they like Potomac, but above all and above everything else, they want the companionship, as he was saying. They want to see the bright, smiling faces of the devotees who live here. So please, just whatever is going on, drop everything at 4:45 and, you know, tear yourself away from the whatever else is going on, because it's very, very, very important. I'm making a plea to everyone. I know it's been better, but sometimes there's just, you know, nobody gets here. I mean, and as far as our devotees living here, till 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and it's very discouraging for people who drive all the way from Sterling, Virginia, or some faraway place in Maryland to brave the rain and come here and not find any devotees who are here, who are managing the temple. So please come. And I'm going to make a note of everyone who doesn't come today, so that it helps us remember if it's pointed out that somehow we forgot or we didn't think it was important. It really helps a lot. So I'm just asking everyone today to do this. Srikala Gya Prabhu. So, just for the benefit of those of you in the kitchen, Srikala Gya was saying that last week, at least 4, 5, or 6 new families came. That meant 10, 12, 14, 15 guests who came for the very first time, and more and more are coming every week. And it's our duty to speak with them, to preach to them, to associate with them. Not that we just come here and space out. Not only should we be here, but we should be thinking how these people can advance in Krishna consciousness. That is Prabhupada's mood. We celebrated his reunion day in honor of his disappearance day. But this is actually critical, that as soon as someone crosses the threshold of the temple, they should never escape from devotees for the rest of their lives. That's how important that person is who steps across the threshold, who comes to the Hare Krishna temple. And especially for the first time, they don't know. And some people come and they go and they haven't even talked to a devotee. And this is, you know, we can say, well, there's so many people, there's only a few devotees. But actually, when Prabhupada was present, there was many Sunday feasts, when he was physically there and when he was not physically there, but he was present on the planet. And we used to descend on guests who arrived for the first time, just like hornets. It's not a very good example, something I can think of right now. But we used to descend on them and make sure that they had every opportunity to take the next step in Krishna consciousness. So I was often tell the story, Trikalagi, about how you used to speak to that one man that came to the manor and no one else talked to him. You went up and spoke with him and ended up that he was a personal friend of the Prime Minister and introduced the devotees to her at that time, to Prime Minister Thatcher. So it's not that we're looking for some material or political benefit by going up to someone, or, you know, maybe they're important or elite or influential, one of the shrestas of society. But everyone is important. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, and it's our duty to awaken that. That's the preaching spirit, to awaken the consciousness of who I really am. That's the duty of a devotee. That's the purpose of a temple even existing. It's not simply a place to live. Prabhupada used to quote his spiritual master saying, if you're preaching, that is life. And if you don't preach, you're a dead man. That's a little stark, but it's true. Preaching means life, and not preaching means a kind of living death that we just vegetate and eat and sleep. And since we're not going out a lot and preaching, and we're doing some, a few of us, all of us are doing it at one point or another. We're visiting the colleges, we're going out to people's homes, we're distributing books, we're distributing prasada. But because of the isolated geography of this temple, we don't really preach as much as we would like to. We don't get to interact with individuals as much as we would like to. But when we create a festive, a very festive atmosphere, and we do things like plays and wonderful kirtans and wonderful prasadam, and especially, as Rajnikant was saying, when we give them companionship, when we really make them feel they have their real friends are here, their greatest friends are right here in the temple, right? Then they want to come back, and again and again and again. So once someone comes here, we should make them feel that they never want to not come back, that they want to come back as soon as possible, as often as possible, and with as many of their as many of their friends as possible. That's the purpose of the temple. So we want to create that very festive atmosphere and that very friendly. I think you hit on the right thing when you use the word companionship. There's no other word I can think of that strikes the essence of what we're trying to do here. Because when a person feels they have a companion, and everybody takes shelter in their companion, their codependent, their husband, their wife, their children, their father, their mother, their closest friend. And if they feel that the devotees in the temple are filling that role of their intimate friends, that they actually can consider them companions, then they begin to get a glimpse that Krishna is the real dearest friend of everyone. Through the devotees they get that knowledge. So let us see everyone like that. I mean, even people who are very materialistic, they teach their employees in big companies. When a person walks into the store, for example, some big commercial chain, they should imagine there's a figure on the forehead stamped on $10,000, because that's what they say that person is going to spend during his or her lifetime coming into that store. So they teach them to meditate like this, with a 10,000, that there's a 10,000 or whatever it is, $20,000, $30,000 stamp in their forehead. So even if someone who is simply trying to advance materially on that path of material progress is going to such effort to get everyone to see someone who walks into that establishment as so valuable that they're never let go. They get mail, they get calls on the telephone, they get what they call junk mail, they get cataloged constantly, 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 for years and years, even maybe they only bought one little thing. How much more it is incumbent upon us as the selfless soldiers and workers in this material world to spread Krishna consciousness, or to spread the highest knowledge or the goal of life. So the same thing, everyone who comes into the temple should be regarded as very, very special and a candidate to go back to Godhead. And who knows, that person might become a sannyasi or a guru someday. We don't know. That person might be, as was the case with Trikalagi, might be someone who has the be great influence, a great power, great wealth, or great political or social influence in the world, and may bring thousands and millions of people to Krishna consciousness. We don't know. So please come early and be prepared to speak to other people. We're here, usually they're here till 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Atma Nivedana, you said sometimes you're up speaking to people till 11 o'clock at night.
Hopefully not that.
But they have to go. But that spirit is there. But we want to make them feel so welcome, so companioned, that they want to keep coming and coming and coming. On Tuesday, I'll be going to England for an international communications conference, and I return on the day of the National Cathedral concert. That's the tentative plan, and I think Anudham is going to be also going. That's Tuesday the 18th, but he'll be returning in 3 or 4 days, a little bit sooner than I am. But that's the plan. And then I have another travel plans until December, where there is a women's conference beginning on the 3rd of December. So that's about a 5-day event. And then this is just my travelogue. Some people ask me, so I'm giving an itinerary. And then again, no major travel until Mayapur time, which is the 19th of February, planned anyway. So, any questions on these verses, or anything about anything, points or questions or observations? Question is that, should devotees not associate with karmis? Is there some talk, and do some people feel that way? Yes, some people do feel that way, because there are some injunctions about getting polluted by associating with materialistic people. Yesterday we heard a devotee ask Prabhupada, when we talk to people, sometimes they don't want to take Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada's answer is, then what is the use of preaching? If everyone already agrees with you, then there's no sense in preaching. So that's one thing. But from a broader perspective, and Prabhupada went on to speak, that we have to see, not in terms of black and white, but the injunction in the 11th canto, Nabi Yogendra speaking to King Nimi, is that one should make friends with the Supreme Lord, Ishvara Tara Dineshu. One should see the general mass of people as his innocent, Bali Sheshu Dvisachu Cha. One should avoid, one should make close friends with devotees, Maitra Preme Kapropriksha. One should be friendly, and one should avoid those who are envious. So be very close friends with devotees, worship the Supreme Lord, preach to the innocent, and avoid the envious. And Prabhupada went on for some length to explain how the general mass of people are the innocent people. So, personally, I'd like to see the word karmi banished from our vocabulary, because I think it's unnecessarily demeaning. A karmi is a person who thinks that Janmaishwarya Shruta Shivir, that the only thing to work for in life is material advancement. And it gives people a conception that they're going to get unnecessarily polluted by their preaching. But preaching means that we are becoming purified. So Prabhupada gave us a two-part program. One, to hear the Bhagavatam every morning, to read every day, to worship deities every day, to associate with devotees as much as possible, to engage somehow in the Sankirtan movement, and always be preaching. And that means that we have to wade into an atmosphere that is not spiritual, and be very spiritual in that atmosphere because of our purification, because of our sadhana bhakti. So even though those who are maybe victims of maya are manifesting all the qualities of only wanting material advancement, by hearing and by associating with devotees, by becoming a friend of a devotee, by being impressed by Prabhupada's books, by being impressed with a taste of prasadam, that person's spiritual life has begun. There was one man who came into the temple drunk, and he offered Prabhupada a roll of toilet paper. He just came in and everyone was ready to throw him out. And he put it right down on Prabhupada's lectern and walked out. And Prabhupada said later on that his spiritual life had begun. He was very offensive and very drunk. And just, well, no one wanted to have anything to do with him. So this injunction that one should preach to the innocent is an overpowering statement in the Bhagavatam. That Bali Sheshu Dushatsucha, one's vision of the general mass of people should be Bali Sheshu, that they're like my children, like my own children. They have to be cared for, they have to be looked after, they have to be gradually brought to the point of higher consciousness, they have to be educated. So that is the mood that Prabhupada invoked and instilled in all the devotees. That everyone is innocent because they can hear about Krishna consciousness. And he said only if someone is repeatedly blasphemous or envious or just refusing to hear anything, then we don't waste our time with such people. But the masses of people, if we induce them, Prabhupada used the word induce, to take to some level, some form of Krishna consciousness, whether it just be prasadam or hearing a nice kirtan or just being friendly with a devotee, that would be the beginning of that person's spiritual life. So such persons are considered innocent. And even though they may be karmi in the sense that their only goal in life is material advancement, still they have to begin somewhere. And if they begin even in a very small way, then their devotional life has begun. So it's, you know, really it means one who is a victim, one who is karmi. And we tend to use the word in a very demeaning way, as that person is poisonous. Of course, Prabhupada uses the precaution that one shouldn't extensively associate with very materialistic people or intimately associate with them, because that can have a polluting effect on a consciousness. But a real preacher is one who is constantly being purified by hearing, by chanting, by remembering, regularly doing it, every day reading something, worshipping the deity. And that person, even though has to be in a very materialistic atmosphere, maintains Krishna consciousness. And the association with others is bringing them somehow closer to Krishna consciousness. It's like Prabhupada was talking about Upaniti, or bringing one near somehow. The life of a devotee is to bring those nearer to Krishna consciousness. So, to answer your question, again, it is a very immature concept to think that we shouldn't associate with so-called karmis, or to think that there are just good and bad, because really it ultimately means the death of all preaching. If that kind of a neophyte, improper attitude, an improper understanding of our philosophy is put forward. It's a common thing to think of in terms of us and them. There's my family, my friends, my community, and everybody else doesn't count. Everybody else is bad. In Krishna consciousness, we try to understand that there's a greater family, and that is the family of human beings, the family of insects and animals and all living entities. That is actually really Krishna's family. And of course they're going to be victims of material nature. What to speak of human beings? What animals? They don't know anything. But even they can be benefited by Krishna consciousness, by getting prasadam, by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, by seeing a devotee. What to speak of human beings? So the broad-minded, the mahatma, the devotee who is broad-minded, sees in terms of Bali Sheshu. Here are the broad masses of people all needing some instruction, all needing some way to be induced to become closer to Krishna consciousness. And the neophyte or the Kanista Adhikari is thinking they're the people outside of the temple. They don't count. They're karmis. They're foolish. They're hopeless. And so they don't preach. They stay in the temple. They're called Kanista Adhikaris. But Madhyama Adhikari, which this verse describes, is the one who makes friends with the devotees, sees this, worships the Supreme Lord, preaches to all the innocent people, and avoids the envious people. We were hearing a tape where Prabhupada was talking about this the other day. So it's a very important concept to realize that there are differences in human beings, but that just because one is a devotee doesn't put one on a superior platform. I've often said in classes that the person who delivers the mail could be your child's guru one day. That's the way society operates, or ISKCON operates. And we don't know. We don't know the karmic background of anyone.
Valmiki will then demonstrate that really unless we are in touch, whether we are coming or not, nobody can judge.
Yeah, that's very important. People like Bilba Mangal Valmiki had so many great sages, and we were reading about how the disappearance day is always judged as the most important day of a great saint, because then we look at that person's accomplishments. We're not looking into the karmic background. And Prabhupada said that when one is a siddha, it doesn't matter whether he's sadhana siddha, kripa siddha, or nitya siddha. The fact is that one becomes a perfect person. That is what we have to look at. And as you rightly point out, we don't know the karmic background of anyone in this life or in previous lives. Priya, you wanted to say something? I don't know. I have to plead ignorance. I don't know anything about this. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Sorry. I don't know.
Was it a great point, or you definitely know from the sources?
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Shri Chaitanya Chaitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radhamana Mohan ki jai, Shri Nu Hastinapura Dhamma ki jai. Thank you.